Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Everybody's high on consolation. Everybody's trying to tell me what is right for me, yeah. My daddy tried to bore me with a sermon, but it's plain to see that they can't comfort me. Sorry, Charlie, for the imposition. I think I got the strength to carry on.
From 1976, that was Hall and Oates with She's Gone, song that they wrote together. Daryl and John wrote that together. And I'm reading some differing stories on the basis for this song. According to a 1985 article in Rolling Stone, Daryl Hall said it was about his divorce from his wife, Brenna Lublin. While on VH1 Behind the Music episode, John Oates said that it was about a girlfriend that stood him up on New Year's Eve. So, I don't know, maybe it's a combination of the both of them. Maybe they're misremembering. I don't know. Anyway, kind of a cool tune, She's Gone by Hall and Oates. You know what? It's 4 o'clock, so we need to break for station identification, and we will come back with more great tunes, starting things off with a little bit of Brenda Lee.
Many years ago, there was music heard on WRCO. The music that made that show popular is the same music you're enjoying today on Saturdays with Simo on WRCO-FM 100.9 in Richland Center.
Brenda Lee with Break It To Me Gently. So I'm playing some Christmas songs here and there. We are in December. This is, again, one of my favorites. Barbara Streisand in the early 1960s released a Christmas album. And I played this every year, so I'm going to play it again. This is her cover of Jingle Bells.
In a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank. Misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifting bank. upset. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the fields of white on this happy Christmas night. Off we go through the snow. Bells are ringing, we'll be singing. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jing jangle. 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 Jing 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 jingle bell. Jing 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 jangle bell. Jing 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 all the way on a one horse open sleigh.
I couldn't sleep at all last night. Kick the blankets on the floor. Turn my pillow upside down. I never, never did before. Because I was tossing and turning, turning and tossing, tossing and turning all night. Jumped out of bed, turned on the light. I pulled down the shade, went to the kitchen for a bite. Rolled up the shade, turned off the light. I jumped back into bed, it was the middle of the night. The clock downstairs was striking four. Couldn't get you off my mind. I heard the milkman at the door. Cause I was tossing and turning, turning and tossing, tossing and turning. Clock downstairs was striking four. I couldn't get you off my mind. I heard the milkman at the door. Cause I was tossing and turning.
Bobby Lewis, he's been tossing and turning. Here's a tune that Heather heard listening to one of the myriad Christmas stations. This is a mashup of sorts. This is Bing Crosby with Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Gloria!
Peace on the earth, goodwill.
from 1977, the first single released off their fifth album, The Name of the Game, song written by Benny and Bjorn, along with a little bit of lyric help from Benny's brother, Stig Anderson. The lead vocalists, both Annie Fried and Agnetha, took turns singing lead on that. But big hit for them. They were influenced. Benny and Bjorn said they were influenced in the opening by Stevie Wonder's I Wish. So they later openly said, yeah, we listened to a lot of Stevie Wonder, and he really influenced where the group was going. All right, we need to take a quick commercial break, so we will do that. And coming back with more tunes, jumping back in to the 1970s again, we've got some George Harrison right after this commercial break.
C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to savor the moments you have with family and friends, leaving you with few regrets in the end. And when the time comes to celebrate a life well lived, we will be ready to support and serve you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Make a career choice you can be proud of. Join the legacy at Pine Valley Community Village, serving with pride for 140 years, where you and your contribution truly matter. Enjoy exceptional benefits as a full or part-time Pine Valley employee, health, dental, and life insurance, plus holiday, vacation, and sick pay. And don't forget the fun, potlucks, dress-up days, prizes, games, and more. Log on pinevalleycommunity.org and click on careers.
Now's the time for adventure. Time to discover the tasty delights waiting for you at Summit Ridge Supper Club on Highway 58 between Laval and Mauston, where the daily specials are mouth-watering, the salad superb, and the atmosphere has to be experienced. Drop by on Fridays for the fantastic fish fry starting at 4. Saturday nights, feature prime rib. And don't miss the roasted chicken and dumpling special on Wednesdays. Terry, Jen, and Randy invite you to make it a night to remember at Summit Ridge Supper Club, Highway 58 between Laval and Mauston.
There's good news for those suffering from gum disease. Williams and Pierce Family Dental is now offering treatment without cutting or stitches. With laser bacteria reduction, WP Dental can treat moderate to severe gingivitis and periodontitis so you can quickly return to your normal routine. You'll heal naturally with full retention of your gums. If you suffer from tender, red, swollen, or bleeding gums, call 647-3993 for an appointment to evaluate your condition. Or visit Williams & Pierce Dental, 100 North Church Street, Richland Center.
It's magic and memories. Magic and wonders and wishes. Wonders and when it touches your heart,
it feels like Christmas.
It feels like Christmas.
At Schmidt Woodland Hills.
He remembered it as though it were yesterday and not over 60 years ago. The first Christmas after the war, the first Christmas of peace in almost 6 years. His father home from the battlefields of Europe. Carols were sung, but with a new gusto. There was more laughter than he could ever remember, and it was a special celebration that caused his 8-year-old mind to be in awe of those adults who gathered in his living room. It was so long ago, less than mid-20th century, and now he was far older than his father had been when he returned from the war. It was now the 21st century, and other wars had come and gone and come. So many more Christmases since then. He watched his grandchildren play amongst the torn gift wrap beneath and around the gaily decorated tree, unafraid of tomorrow, ignorant to what yesterday had left behind. Every Christmas was special, but perhaps not as special as that Christmas of 1945, when the world could truly appreciate what peace on earth meant. I'm Gip Forster. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from the residents and staff of Schmidt Woodland Hills. The beauty of the Christmas season can remind us of all the beauty in life that we take for granted, our family, our friends, and our faith.
It feels like Christmas.
It feels like Christmas.
At Schmidt Woodland Hills.
What's better than WRCO's Retro Saturday? We can't think of anything either. This is Saturdays with Simo and your host, Chris Simonson, on WRCO-FM 100.9 in Richland Center.
George Harrison with Cracker Box Palace. Here is Glenn Campbell, Gentle on My Mind.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me, or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memories, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
The McCoys with Hang On Sloopy. Here are the Chipmunks with their Christmas song, Christmas Time Is Here.
All right, you chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon?
Okay.
Okay, Theodore?
Okay.
Okay, Alvin? Alvin? Alvin! Okay, fellas, get ready. That was very good, Simon.
Naturally.
Very good, Theodore. Alvin, you were a little flat. Watch it, Alvin. Alvin. Very good, boys.
Let's sing it again. Yeah, let's sing
No,
it
that's
again.
Enough. Let's not overdo it.
What do you mean overdo it? We want to sing it
Now, wait
again.
A minute, boys.
Yeah, why can't we sing it
Alvin, again? Cut that. Wait. Theodore, just a minute. Simon, will you cut that out? Get off.
Boy. David Seville with the Chipmunks and the Chipmunks song, or Christmas Don't Be Late. All right. Phil keeps getting requests for this on his Saturday night show, and he just plain can't do it because the thing is 18 and a half minutes long, you know? This is Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant Massacre. This is, there was a real Alice that was based on, Alice Brock, who passed away back on November 22nd, and this is kind of a Thanksgiving staple. I didn't have a chance to get it on this show. So, here we are, folks. This is Alice's Restaurant.
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Frotch is a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. It said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And that's what we did, and sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car, but when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, "Kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt." And I said, "Obie, I can understand you wanting my wallet so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for?" And it said, "Kid, we don't want any hangings." Said, "Obie, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering?" Obie said he was making sure, and friends, Obie was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obie was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obi came in with a 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, "All rise." We all stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures. And the judge walked in, sat down with the CNI dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the CNI dog. And then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the CNI dog. And then the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, because Obi came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. We got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like the I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, "Kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, "Shrink, I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 Kill." And I started jumping up and down, yelling, "Kill. Kill." And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, "Kill. Kill." And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down the hall, said, "You're our boy. Feel too good about it." Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things, and I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they was leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I went, finally came to see the very last man. I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested?" And I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacree, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, "Kid, did you ever go to court?" I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and stopped me right there and said, "Kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid!" And I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W is where they put you if you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. And there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench there. There's mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father April sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one day was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime fighting guys are sitting there on the bench, and the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest Father Raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things, and he sat down next to me and said, "Kid, what'd you get?" I said, "I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage." He said, "What were you arrested for, kid?" And I said, "Littering." And they all moved away from me on the bench there to carry eyeball all kinds of mean, nasty things, till I said, "And creating a nuisance." And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine, we were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things, until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, "Kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 cents, it's 58 words. We want no details of crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got to say, pretend to about the crime. Want to know the rest of the officer's name, and else kind of thing. You got to say, and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. I filled out the massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine, and I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words: "Kid, if you rehabilitated yourself." I went over to the sergeant and said, "Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on a Group W bench. 'Cause you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug." He looked at me and said, "Kid, we don't like your kind. And we're gonna send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is 'cause you may know somebody in a similar situation, or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do, is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in, say, 'Shrink, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant,' and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they may think they're both faggots and it won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is, the Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here, sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
That was horrible. One end Warren stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. This time with four-part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around, is what we're doing. All right now.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Accepting Alice.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, and just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Da 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 da. At Alice's restaurant.
Arlo Guthrie with his classic Alice's Restaurant Massacre. Hopefully you guys were singing along the last couple of times through. Thanks very much for being here this Saturday afternoon. Coming up in a few minutes, we have the news at 5 o'clock. Backtracking is here at 5:30. And then from 6 o'clock p.m. till midnight, the big show. Phil is here with Those Were the Days, playing your favorite hits from the 50s all the way up through the early 90s. He'll be taking your requests. He'll be ringing the trivia bell. It's a great way to spend a Saturday evening with friends and family. I want to thank Tim Thede for being in the studio today to engineer the program. Thank you, man. Coming up now, we've got some instrumental tunes, starting out with The Average White Band and Pick Up the Pieces. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody, and I will see you back here next Saturday.